Important dates in Christian history. 312 AD. Emperor Constantine is converted after seeing a vision of the cross. He becomes a defender and advocate of the oppressed Christians. After his death, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which endured in some form for another 1,500 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Todd, as always, out on campus this week at Kennesaw State University. So let's check back with him right now.
This is Moira, and Moira is going to now tell us everything you know about the holiday known as Easter. Go.
I know it has something to do with, like, in Christianity, the, like, resurrection of Jesus, right? But that's, like, literally, like, all I know other than bunnies and eggs.
Because that's kind of the big deal that everybody does. But that's good, actually. That's more than a lot of people have told us they know. So you did really good. Okay, so the resurrection of Jesus, and you said Christian. So I'm going to guess you're not a Christian.
Nope.
Are you anything religious-wise?
No.
Agnostic.
Yeah.
Right, so Moira, let me ask, if there's a possibility that God exists, what would be the standard that this God would need to meet for you to acknowledge that he does exist?
Well, I know people go on a lot of things based on faith, but honestly, I believe more so in what I can see, I suppose. So, like, until, like, something is, like, directly proven to me, I suppose, then I can't really take that stuff based on faith of other people, you know? So I don't think I believe in something until it, like, directly involves me, I suppose.
Let me just see if I can provide that standard for you with this bench, right? Do you know where this bench came from?
No.
Did you see anybody make it?
Mm-mm.
But do you believe that somebody did make this bench?
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of intuit when we see something that's designed, there's a designer. So I would suggest to you, Moira, that as I look at the creation and I see the buds on the trees, the birds, the bees, human beings, the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, I notice that it's all designed. And therefore, I conclude there must be a designer. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all of this wonderfully designed creation. So in other words, because there's a creation, therefore, there is a creator. What do you think of that reasoning?
I don't think just because something exists, someone had to directly create it.
Then what would be your explanation for the amazingly intricate design that you observe every day?
I think I would just explain it as a planet with an atmosphere working with a terraformed planet.
But perhaps evolution would be your explanation.
Sorry, yeah.
My question, though, for you, Moira, would be, you look at the bench and you just automatically know there's a bench maker. You see a building, even though you didn't meet the architect or see the construction take place, you know that it did because it is so designed and it is so thoughtfully put together. We just automatically intuit, if there's a microphone, there's a microphone maker. Wouldn't that logic carry through with the earth, with you, how intricately designed you are, that there must be somebody who put all of this together? Isn't that reasonable?
I understand your reasoning, but I don't think so. Like, the things that we know are, like, made by hand. Like, people make buildings, people made the light, the bench. We know that there is someone that made that. We don't know that there was someone who, like, made earth or people or anything.
Then Moira, just explain to me, where does the logic or where does the reason fall down?
Like you mentioned earlier, I do believe in evolution. So I just think we've evolved to basically just fit our world.
So if I asked you the question, do you believe there's an afterlife? What would you say?
Possibly.
You're agnostic on that too.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, what do you think it is?
I'm honestly not sure, but part of me, I think, believes, at least in some form, in reincarnation. So I know I'm agnostic on a lot, and I don't think I know much, but I think that in some way, our souls at least go on after we perish.
may I ask, the reincarnation program, who's running that program? Who decides who goes where? How do you think, if reincarnation happens, who's making the decisions about reincarnation?
I don't think there has to be anyone making the decisions about it necessarily. I think there's a possibility that exists. I think that basically it's just a cycle. And in a way, when we die, I kind of hope at least we all just return to the cycle and it just kind of autonomously does what it will.
So if you were reincarnated, what would be your guess? Where would you come back, or what would you come back as?
I have no idea, honestly. I would assume that it could be anything if reincarnation does really exist. So I don't know.
So based on your worldview, Moira, do you think that you possess an optimistic or a pessimistic view of the world?
Honestly, I'd say pessimistic just because of my life personally, I suppose. I haven't been very lucky in life.
That's intriguing. Life has been hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know what it is, but I'm sorry to hear. Let me circle back just a moment to my original question, which was Easter. Mm-hmm. I was kind of intrigued, and I was trying to figure out why, when you said it's a Christian holiday, but you kind of giggled a little bit. You laughed about it. Is there something about Christianity that you find off-putting?
Well, a little bit, I have to admit. I just haven't had the best experience with people in the Christian religion before.
Were they mean?
Yeah.
All right, so your conclusion then about Christianity is whoever it is that they worship must not be worth it if the followers are not very kind?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I do think that obviously some Christians are just fine and they're nice people. I don't have anything against Christians as a whole. I just think Christianity in general, I don't have the best view of.
Based on people, is there anything about its beliefs that are troublesome to you?
Not necessarily, except for the people who believe that they can subjugate other people because of it, and that people are lesser than them if they don't believe in it. And those are some people I've dealt with before. Really? Yeah.
Okay, don't name names, obviously, but tell me what that looked. How did they demonstrate that they were trying to, in your words, subjugate people?
They were trying to, I guess the best way to say it is aggressively evangelize. How they went about it was just terrible, and they were being insulting to a lot of people as well.
Give me an example. I'd like to hear. Because I'm a Christian, and I like to share my faith with people, but I don't want to make the mistakes that it sounds like some people made in your life. So what were they saying?
There's a good example. A couple of years ago, actually, just right over there on the green, on Valentine's Day, there was a couple of people with signs that were very aggressive and insulting, and they were yelling a lot of stuff that fits that mold.
I've seen those guys.
Yeah, I've kind of dealt with them a few times.
Yeah, if we're talking about the same ones, I don't think they're a very good representation of Christianity. I think they're pretty off-putting. And more than that, I think the word I would use to describe them is really unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, yeah.
I want to try some reason with you. And I want you to tell me, when I'm done with this reasoning, if I'm being the same type of off-putting, offensive person that you've experienced here. Okay. I want to go back to Easter just for a moment. The significance of that holiday. Do you know what it is? Why do Christians celebrate that?
From what I understand, like I mentioned, it does celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
What was the point of Jesus dying and then Easter rising from the dead? What transpired?
Well, I know he was crucified. And I know a lot of people say, he died for your sins, that sort of thing. Other than that, I'm not really sure, I suppose.
No, actually, that's pretty good. That's about right. Jesus died for our sins. And that presupposes something, that you and I are sinners. That's assumed in that statement. So I would ask you that question. Would you say that you, Moira, are a sinner?
I don't really know what, how to define sin.
Let's try the Ten Commandments. We're all pretty familiar with that, right? Oh, you don't know the Ten Commandments? Oh, that's all right. Ten Commandments. You've heard the name of Moses, correct?
Yeah, I know that he got a couple of tablets, and I know that they had some general rules written on them, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah. All right. That you should love the Lord your God above all things, that you shouldn't make any graven images, and that you shouldn't use his name in vain. Ring a bell?
Yeah. I've definitely like heard of them in general, but I don't really know that much about them directly.
They get a little more personal, though. They turn the corner a little bit from theological, it seems, to more practical stuff like you should honor your father and mother. You should not commit murder. You should not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Do those ring a bell?
Yeah, like general like rules, morality kind of thing.
Yeah, those would they would be laws, commandments. If those are God's laws, have you followed all of those laws?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Yes. That's see that. So if we use that standard, then the biblical word would be, then we're sinners. We're lawbreakers.
Sure. Okay,
based on the commandments. Okay. So let me just reason with you. Remember, we're going to Easter though. So you and I break God's commandments. We don't love them the way that we should. And we don't honor our parents all the time. We can be disobedient, say bad things about them or to them. We desire things that don't belong to us. Sometimes we have really angry thoughts about people that are not kind. And Jesus said that's like murdering in your heart. So Moira, the two of us sitting on this bench then, if, when death comes, if God opened the books on you and me, the laws, to see if we've kept them, would God see that you, Moira, have been innocent or guilty of keeping his commandments?
And break. Well, does Moria consider herself innocent or guilty of sinning against God? She's an agnostic, an admitted agnostic, so how is she going to respond to that question? Find out next on Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
What do you get when you combine eight of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information, we need transformation.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the promised land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And today, Todd has been out at Kennesaw State University speaking with students. He's been chatting with Moria, a self-proclaimed agnostic. And when we left off with their chat, Todd had just gone through the law and posed the question to her if she would consider herself innocent or guilty of breaking God's law. And as an agnostic, how's she going to respond to that question? Well, let's all find out. Right now,
the two of us sitting on this bench, then when death comes, if God opened the books on you and me, the laws, to see if we've kept them, would God see that you, Moira, have been innocent or guilty of keeping his commandments?
As I understand the commandments, probably guilty. Haven't necessarily followed all of those rules.
No, I haven't either. And that's why when you see these Christians that act all condescending, You wonder if they understood that they are lawbreakers too. All right, so we're still going to Easter, so hang in there with me. So you and I would be found guilty of breaking God's laws, and if he's just, and if he's a judge that never wavers on justice, and if he sentences you and me for eternity, the choices biblically would be heaven with God, or hell, receiving God's justice for our lawbreaking. Based on the standard, even of the Ten Commandments, you and I are in kind of a scary spot. We'd be going not to the good place, but to the bad place, right? If what I'm saying is true and accurate. All right, now let's go back to Easter.
I think I understand what you're getting at here, because you've kind of jogged my memory on some stuff. What you're getting to is that Easter is about, like, rebirth and like forgiving sins and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's right. But specifically like this, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sees everything that we do, knows everything that we think, and because he's just, he must punish guilty criminals. But the Bible says God is rich in mercy and he loves to forgive guilty criminals. But there's a bit of tension. See if you track with me on this. God must punish criminals, but God loves to forgive criminals. But if he just lets people go who deserve to be punished, then he's not just. So there's some tension that exists here. So God's plan was to send his son, Jesus, lived a perfect life, never broke the commandments. And then he was beaten, hung on a cross, where he was receiving the punishment that you and I deserve. He died in our place, but 3 days later he rose from the dead, demonstrating he has the power over the grave. And what was happening was that sins were being paid for. He was shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins of people who would believe in him, so that if you or I put our trust in him, in Jesus Christ, when we die, God will find us not guilty because our fine has been paid by Jesus Christ. So he gives us forgiveness and he even gives us his righteousness. So we give him our sins and he grants us forgiveness because of what he did on Easter Sunday. So this would be my last question, maybe. What I just said, is it true?
I know you are like going off of like a lot of like what's written in the Bible, a lot of what people believe about what happened. Ultimately, I just don't believe in the same thing.
I wasn't asking if you believed in Jesus, but what I just explained, the question is that the truth? Did Moses really give some commandments? Did Jesus really live on this planet? Did he really die for sinners and rise from the dead? That's what I'm not asking if you trust it. I'm just asking, is my recollection of history true?
I think Jesus was probably a real person, but I don't believe the stories are true.
This was what I'd leave you with then. You know those people who maybe were just obnoxious? I'm sorry. They just shouldn't be that way. Somebody who followed...
For all Christians, yeah. I know that. It's just hard to reconcile everything.
I don't disagree with you. I would say two things about that. First of all, we're commanded by Jesus to actually love our enemies, not just people who are nice to us, but even people who are cruel. So somebody who's not acting like that is not being a good Christ follower. Be careful of your thinking through the issue, in that if you judge the truth about Jesus Christ based on some of the actions of some of his presumed followers, you might make a wrong decision about him. I would encourage you just try to push those people aside for a moment and just consider the claims that Jesus Christ made so that you judge based on him as opposed to our bad behavior as followers. Would that be a reasonable consideration?
I understand your reasoning. And like I said, I do respect, you know, Christians who are good people, but it just doesn't track with me. I just don't believe in it.
I don't know if you are like a political person at all, but let's just judge. Okay, so who would be a politician you like? And we're not going to debate politics. I just want to use this as an example. Who would be a politician you like?
It's hard to say I completely like a politician. There's a lot around all of them. In general, someone who I think is making some good moves is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
So let's just say you were trying to tell me that she's a wonderful politician. And I said, but you know what? I met somebody who's one of her followers and she wasn't nice. Therefore, I conclude that she is not worthy of my consideration or vote. You'd say, well, I'm sorry for what that person did, but that person wasn't representing her. So just think about her policies, think about her and render your judgment based on her, not on some bad behavior of some of her followers. That's the illustration that I would share with you about Jesus Christ. Consider his claims. Don't be tainted by the bad behavior of some of his followers.
It's hard not to be, but I do understand your logic. The thing is, in addition to like the bad Christians, I guess you would say, people who just have been mean in the name of Christianity, that sort of thing. In addition to that, I guess personally, I can't reconcile all of the beliefs of Christianity, so I'm not sure.
All right. Well, at least we were able to sit on this bench. I'm a Christian, you're not. We've got a difference of opinion, but we got along very pleasant, and I enjoyed the conversation. So we proved that people can get along.
Yeah, of course I respect people who are like nice and everything like that, no matter what religion they are, no matter anything about them.
Okay, well, at least I hope that you'll give this some consideration. Maybe just think it through a little bit as you go about your day. Just something to chew on.
Sure. I mean, you made some good points. I follow your logic. Yeah.
All right. Moira, thank you. That was Moira. And whilst we couldn't see her face, I could hear a lot going on inside of her brain and inside of her heart and inside of her memory that has caused her, for various reasons, to not give the claims of Jesus Christ much consideration. Could I have pressed harder? I don't think I could have, because I was actually simply trying to get to the finish line of being able to share the good news that Jesus Christ died for her, a sinner, without her getting upset based on her past experiences. She's clearly been disturbed by some Christians who she perceived as being unreasonable, whether they were or not. I've seen some of the open-air preachers out here, and they can be awful, frankly. They can be terrible open-air preachers. Regardless, this was a tender heart. There were all kinds of indications that this is somebody who is hurting, actually. And that is why I would like to encourage you to consider having your church come to a university campus week after week after week. I'm speculating to a degree, but I've seen this before. Somebody like Moira could use a friend. Somebody like Moira could use some Christians to love her. Somebody like Moira could use a local church to help her and to spend time with her. And if you come to a university campus on a regular basis and you set up camp in the same shop every single time, you're going to bump into Moira again and again, and you can reach out, and it might take time. But if you would invest into people like Moira, I'm telling you, we talked for 20 minutes about religious things, and clearly she's not excited about Christianity. And I could be wrong about this too. Take it or leave this evaluation. But my observation is that she was just willing to talk to virtually anybody who would engage with her. And it's not just Moira. We see this all the time on university campuses. Even when we were done, could be wrong, seemed like she was willing to even stick around and maybe just chat some more, even though she was late for work. If I'm wrong about Moira, I can't be wrong about everybody that we talk to on these campuses who is just like that. Please, if your local church is near a university campus, do not wait for the students to darken your doorsteps. If you want to do events to invite them in, okay, that's up to you, but I would like to suggest to you, we get into our boats and we paddle to these campuses and we start fishing. And I'm telling you, you will be a successful fisherman, even if somebody doesn't repent on a bench. Nevertheless, you can be a witness to Jesus Christ that helps somebody like Moira have a better understanding of Christianity through the experience of better Christians. So, for you, if you've got a church near a university campus, what are you waiting for? Until tomorrow, go serve your King.